Good morning. V'mamar yoimar ha'eved ha'afti es adoyni es ishi ve'es bonad lo'yetzi chafshi. The halacha is, if you have an Eved Ivri, and after he finished serving his term, he likes being an Eved. He likes his shifcha k'nanis, he's comfortable, and he wants to stay a slave. So the halacha is, v'gisha la'adeles ayah ha'mezuzah v'ratza adoyni ves ozni b'marzeya v'avodai lo'olam. We bring him to a mezuzah, we pierce his ear, and he is a slave until the oival. Rashi explains, why do we pierce his ear? Because oizen sheshamaz b'har Sinai, the ear that stood at Har Sinai and heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. The Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim for one purpose, to become Avdei Hashem. So this Eved, who has grown so comfortable and so used to the lifestyle of Avdus, that he wants to remain an Eved La'avodim, he wants to remain subject to another human being. So his ear is pierced. The Me'amloyez adds that Marzeya is Begematria 400. Klal Yisrael were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out earlier in order so that Klal Yisrael can be in Oyver Hashem. This person that has forgotten that message, this person that chooses instead of the Kli Yakar mentions, we pierce it by a mezuzah, because the mezuzah says v'ahavtos Hashem Elokecha. This person has replaced that with ahavti as adoyin ves ishti ves banai. He's chosen to remain an eved. He's chosen to lead the life of slavery instead of being eved Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he didn't deserve to be taken out of Mitzrayim early. And he should have stayed there the complete 400 years. Today, we do not have the concept of Avdus. There's no Eved Nirtza, there's no Eved Ivri. We don't sell people as slavery. Yet, the message of an Eved Nirtza is, I think, especially relevant today. How many people do we know get so caught up in their careers, so caught up in their jobs, ahavtias adoyni ves ishi ves banai, that it reaches a point where it interferes with the ahavtas Hashem l'lekecha, with their ability to be oyved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learned last week that every worker has the right to quit whenever he chooses. And the source for this halacha is this very same pasuk, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. And the message is clear. A person has to work, a person needs a parnasa, he has a family to support. But he can't let that reach a level where it becomes an Eved La'avodim, where he gets so caught up and so busy with his job that it takes him away from his Avodas Hashem. And that's why, that is the makar, and that's the source of these halachos. It's not just simply so that when a person wants to quit, he has the right to quit, but it's to remind him, even when he has the job, when he is working, to not to lose focus and not to lose the proper perspective. Now, we learned last week the halacha that once a worker begins a job, if you hired him for a specific term, you are not allowed to fire him. If you do fire him in the middle, then you have to pay him until the end of the term. You make adjustments, assuming if he finds another job, you're going to be butter. But if he doesn't, he stays at home, you have to pay him for the entire time. You pay him kapayo bato. We adjust for the fact that he has a vacation, so you pay him less. But you're responsible for his paycheck until the original employment period passes. Now that's as far as the employer. However, the worker has the right to quit whenever he chooses. Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. He's not a slave. Whenever he wants to, he can resign, and there's no penalty. The Mordechai in Bava Metzia, Tafnun Tes, says a very interesting halacha. He says that a worker, we're saying, is somewhat similar to an eved, and that's why he has the right to back out. Zog the Mordechai. If a person hires himself, he signs a contract to work for someone for more than 3 years, he's over an Isser. There's a pasuk of, there are actually two pasuk in the Ramashma, that Kishalosh Shanim Kishnei Sachir, a worker is up to 3 years. The moment you commit to work for more than 3 years, that's already not a worker, that's already similar to an Eved, and you're over an Issa. You still have the right to back out. Kilibin Yisrael will give you the right to back out. But the very fact that you made the commitment for that period of time is in the Ain of Avdus, and it's going to be awesome. It's probably, no, it's not a lot. Kilibin Yisrael Avdum isn't a lot either. But it's going to be Aser. And more than 3 years is going to be Aser. Now, based on this, the Chavis Yor had a case. A Chazin was signed a 4-year contract. And he actually made a Shavua. He's not going to quit his job for 4 years. And then he got a better offer. He wanted to back out. So one of his arguments was that, says Kelivin Yisrael Avadim, it's Aser to commit to a job for more than 3 years. Since it was Aser, the deal isn't binding. So, two important points need to be made. The first is that although the Mordechai says it's usher to hire yourself for more than 3 years, that doesn't mean that you have to just flirt from job to job. You can't have any stability. You can work for someone for 50 years. The isser is to lock yourself in, to make a 4-year commitment. It's the commitment itself that's the problem. But certainly the kuliyama, if you have a job and it's at will, and it just goes on and on and on, and definitely everyone agrees that that would be fine. But now the Chavis Yor brings up a very interesting point. What's the problem with committing for 4 years? It's like being an Eved. What's the problem, what's wrong with being an Eved? The answer is, the Pasuk says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, Yid is supposed to be an Eved b'Hashem, not an Eved avodim. What is a Chazin's job? What does he have to do? Zad Chavis Yor, he has to do one thing. He has to daven. He has to be Moitzi the Tzibur. Now, is doing a mitzvah of being Moitzi the Tzibur and davening in Eved Lavodim? No, it's a Dvar mitzvah. That is your Avdus Hashem. That's what you do. This is your mitzvah. Zad Chavis Yor, a Chiddush, that the whole Isser of Kili b'nei Yisrael Avodim is only when you're working for someone else, someone which is a rishos. But if your whole job is a dvar mitzvah, that's not called an eved l'avadim, and therefore the isser won't apply. And based on this, the Shuz Yaakov says the flip side. Now we're going to use a l'chumra. Why is a worker allowed to quit in the middle of a job? Really, he should be locked in. He accepted a job for 3 years. He should be locked in. The answer is Kili b'nei Yisrael Avodim. You can't be an eved. You have the right to back out. That if your whole job is to be a chazen, that's not called an eved of people. That's a divine mitzvah, and you have no right to back out. Now, the Chavis Yor continues, and he says, a malamed, this doesn't apply to. Because a malamed has a problem, how do you pay a malamed in the first place? So he says, either you're paying him to watch the kids, or for other cheshbonos. So to the extent that he's hired also to watch the kids, to be a babysitter, that's an eved l'avodim. So there may be a mitzvah component, but since he's also being paid to do something which isn't a mitzvah, he says you'll have the right to back out. A rov, the Chavis Yor is not sure. Is this an eved l'avodim or not? He doesn't explain what the suffix is. I'm not going to not going to go there. But they're paying him to daven. Now, the reason why they pay him to daven is he has a nice voice, but he's only doing a dvar mitzvah. There's nothing else other than a mitzvah that he's doing. What? He doesn't have to prepare. He's getting paid. He can prepare all he wants. If he doesn't daven, he doesn't get paid. It's true he may have to prepare. What? He davens on Sunday, once a month on a Monday morning, he davens also. So the Chavis Yor paskins that he won't be able to back out. And Tzoyis takes issue with this. He says it's very nice that davening for Yomid is a mitzvah, but the bottom line is when you're hired by a shul and every time they sing a little bit too long or too short, you hear it from them, you're working for them. So Tzai says, even if it's a dvar mitzvah, if you have someone on top of you, you have a boss, that's called avdus. And Tzai argues and says that even a chazen, certainly a rav or a melamed, would have the right to back out. Now the problem is that the Tzai, this is the Tzai over here in Siman Shin Lamed Gimel. In Siman Reish Tzadi, in Hilchos Apotropos, the Tzai says there's halacha that if Bezdin appoints an apotropos, Bezdin appoints a guardian to take care of the estate, to take care of the assets that belong to Yisraelim, to orphans, the halacha is the apotropos is not allowed to resign. He can't just walk off the job. So the Tzai explains, you know why? What happened to Kli B'nei Yisrael Avadim? The Tzai says, it's a Dvar Mitzvah. Dvar Mitzvah has no Kli B'nei Yisrael and you're locked in. The problem is, these two ktsoises don't stem. By us, the ktsois argues in the Chavaz Yar and says, a chazin has the right to quit because the bottom line, he's an eved. He's working for people even though it's a mitzvah. But apotropos, he says, you can't quit because it's a dvar mitzvah. So the Mariaz Enzel in Siman Tezvav says that there's a very basic difference. An apotropos is a volunteer position. If a person volunteers to do a mitzvah, so the fact that he has to do the mitzvah, that's a mitzvah. That's not an eved. You can't back out. Now, in the case of a chazin or a rav, it may be a dvar mitzvah, but you're working for people. They're paying you, then they're your boss. The moment they're paying you, you're accepting money from them, you're their eved. And in such a case, even though this avdus happens to involve this, you know, the task that your master has given you involves the dvar mitzvah. But since he's paying you, you're an eved, you have the right to back out. Ma'ashe'enke, when you volunteer and you're not getting paid, then you're no one's eved. You're just doing a mitzvah l'shem shemayim, and then you have no right to back out. So it comes out that a volunteer is worse off than if you get paid. If you got paid, you're an eved, you therefore can walk away. If you're a volunteer, you're not an eved, and you'd be locked into the job, according to this mahalach.
Volunteer rov can't back out?
A volunteer rov would have the same thing. If it's to the extent that he is only being oisik in dvar mitzvah, he doesn't have any other responsibilities, then he wouldn't be able to. Now, obviously, the case is where he committed to do it for a certain amount of time. If it's day by day, if it's at will, then you don't need Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. I only said I'll do it for you as long, you know, for this week. So at the end of the week, I can walk away. But when I commit to a term, and I'm not getting paid, so there's no avdus, there's no Kili B'nei Yisrael, and Maria's ends or paskins, then he's locked in. What? There must be. If there's no term, then it's not a question of Kli B'nei Yisrael Avadim. Kli B'nei Yisrael is what you need to override a kinyan or a hischaivus. To the extent that it's day by day, then you can back out without it. You don't need any Kli B'nei Yisrael.
You're right. Put a point in the contract. If it doesn't help, if at the end of the day it doesn't help, so you're not being late for anything because
so it's not meaningless. There are nafkaminas which we'll get to as we go through the sugya. For example, we mentioned that an accountant, you know, a worker is allowed to back out. But an accountant that tells you on April 14th that this job is too stressful, has to finish the job. So we'll get to davar avar, when yes, when no. But a commitment does have certain meanings. It's not binding, he can walk away, but according to the Mordechai, you will still be violate the Bnei Yisrael if you accept the job for more than 3 years.
So, a rug coming to a town and he got a better work somewhere else. He said
right.
There was an assumption that, you know, it was on the starting game, but you said as everybody you get back on anyway. What's the difference?
The question over there we were discussing the concept of Mechusar Amana, the fact that he made a verbal commitment, and to back out of a verbal commitment, you're doing something wrong. We can't force you, it's not a kinyan, but you're breaching your word. Now, over here, we're not discussing breaching the word, we're discussing kinyanim. And to the extent that that we say there's a dvar mitzvah and he's not getting paid, it's not just that he did something wrong by backing out. We'd be able to force him, or be usher, he'd be mechuyev to continue doing the job. Now, going back to the Ikar Halacha, as far as this concept of locking yourself in for more than 3 years, so as far as practical halacha, this is very rare for it really to be negeya for a number of reasons. The first is how the vay today is a person should have a job. To have a job where he's locked in for 4 years is something which is unheard of. It's usually at will, and it's rare for a person to have a long-term commitment. Secondly, the Mordechai's case is where it was a Malamed who moved into the person's house, and he was completely supported by the employer. He lived there, he was Samech al Shulchanai, and he took care of all his needs. That is similar to Avdus. A person who's on a set salary, he fends for himself. He rents his own house. He takes care of himself. If he has a problem 1 month, he can't go back to his employer. He's on a salary. That is not similar to an Eved, and that it would not be subject to these halachas. There's another halacha that there is a concept of avdus in the Torah. There are cases where it's mutter to sell yourself as a slave. And that is, if a person desperately needs the money, he can't afford to support himself and his family, in that case, it's not also to sell yourself as a slave. It's when you have a choice. You're able to make it on your own, but you'd rather sell yourself as a slave. It's a little better paying, it's more comfortable. There's a Kili B'nai Yisrael. But to the extent that a person desperately needs the money, there's no Isser. So many workers, especially someone who's locking himself into such a long-term commitment, would usually qualify for this exemption. It's usually he's usually doing it because he's desperate and he needs the money. And therefore, Shach says, L'kuyam, in such a case, would be mutter. The B'Tzel HaChochma adds another heter, and that is, a slave doesn't get vacation days. You're a slave. For 6 years, you're stuck working. You can't just decide that you want to take off a week or two to go to Lake George. You're a slave. So the B'Tzel HaChochma paskins that a worker, even if he locks himself in for 4 years, and even if he's soymech al shulchan of his employer, if he gets vacation, then he's no longer similar to an Eved, and the Isser will not apply. So again, halacha l'maisa, that the Shach with the Tosfos argues in this halacha completely. Halacha l'maisa, it's virtually unheard of to hear such a problem. The only case that I've come across that might be subject to this issue is if you have an out-of-town kohel that is bringing younger light, and they want them to sign a long-term commitment that they won't move out of town, that they're going to come in and they'll learn the kohel for a certain number of years. So if it's more than 3 years, then perhaps you'll run into this struggle. Okay, now let's move on to, you hire the worker. Now halacha is, a poyel has the right to back out whenever he wants. A koblin, someone who's a contractor, is supposed to finish the job. What happens if they don't? Or what happens in the case of a poyel? He does half the job, and then they quit. How much do you pay them? So, in a simple case, you hired someone, you're paying him, let's say, $10,000, and he's supposed to finish the job in a certain amount of time. He does half the job and he leaves. So, in the simple case of a poyel, he did half the work, you pay him half the money, and everyone's happy. What happens, and this is very common, there was a case that actually came up last week. A person hired a programmer to do a specific task. They made up. She was getting paid by the hour, but the project was expected to cost about $10,000. The programmer did half of the job, and then quit. Now the problem is to finish the job is not going to cost another $5,000 now. Either the price of labor went up, and it's going to cost you It'll cost you now $7,500 to do the second half. Or sometimes just them. To get someone to come in and in the middle of a project is more expensive. How much do you pay the worker? See, here we have an interesting halacha. The halacha is by a poyo, if he's a salaried worker who has the right to back out because of Kili B'nai Yisrael, even though the price went up, and even though now the employer is going to have to spend more on to get the job done, the halacha is the worker gets paid in full. They worked this amount of half the hours, they get half the pay, and the employer will have to take money out of pocket to finish the job. A poyel has yaday al ha'oyonah. Now that being said, the Nesivus says that that's only true when the price went up. You can finish the work. The work that the person did had value, but now it's going to be more expensive to finish. The worker has the upper hand. He gets paid based on the time they worked. What happens if the worker does half the job and they leave? Now this half a job is useless. This programmer started writing a flow chart or working something on their own. If a new person comes in, they're starting from scratch and doing it over again. Zuck and the Nesivas, in that case, the worker gets nothing. Even though it's not their fault they backed out, the case could be an oinus. Something happened, he was forced to stop. The bottom line is, the employer got nothing from his services. And if the employer got nothing from his services, the worker, even though he's a poil, and even though he has a legitimate reason to back out, does not get paid at all. It's only if the price changes, and now just to hire someone to finish it will cost more, so the fact that the price changes is not the worker's problem. But when his work ends up being worthless, there you don't pay him for the job. Now, there's another interesting case. The very Goyim in Klal Pei Beis brings down. A person hired an apprentice for 3 years. Now, the deal was for 3 years he would give him room and board. He would teach him the trade, he would give him a little stipend, and his apprentice would stay for 3 years. Now, after 2.5 years, the apprentice had enough, and he ran away. So, the craftsman brought him to a din Torah and said that how can you leave in the middle? The deal was you're going to stay with me for 3 years, and you're going to help me. You still owe me a half a year of labor. The apprentice said, what do you mean? A worker has the right to quit whenever he wants, and after 2.5 years I had enough, I'm quitting. The problem over here was like this. When the craftsman hired the apprentice, for the first 2 years, how much value did its services have? Probably zero. He didn't know what he was doing. Adarabah. The craftsman trained him in, he taught him the trade, he gave him room and board, plus a few extra dollars. He probably lost money every day for the first 2 years. Why did he do it? Because after 2 years of training, this person is now knows what he's doing, and his last year, the last few months of the year, he now has free labor of someone who is experienced and someone who's qualified. So although there was an agreement that he paid him the same amount every week and gave him room and board every week, it was based on a calculation that the last 6 months were probably worth more than the entire first 2.5 years. So in that case, even though it's a poil, the Molei HaRoyim Paskins, that the apprentice, if he quits, has to pay the worker, the craftsman, the value of the next 6 months' work. Now how do you figure that out? Very simple. This apprentice ran away. What do you think he did? He found another job. And he got this new job was he was hired as an expert. So whatever he earns in the new job is the value of his services for the next 6 months. So that's the Molei HaRoyim Paskins in such a case, even though he's a poyo, even though usually the worker has Yadai Al Yoina, in this case, he has to give back this money. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says a similar concept. If you hire an accountant, and you're paying, he's an in-house accountant, he gets paid a flat amount every month, he doesn't get overtime. If he decides to quit on April 1st, the halacha is, it's very nice, he's been collecting his salary for the past 10 months, but he was paid this amount with knowing that April time he's going to put in a tremendous amount of work. So in that case, again, you would have to adjust and you'd be able to claw back any of the extra payments because he was only paid that salary with the expectation he was going to work during the busy season as well. Pashas, he would have to fork it up because it was only paid with the assumption that he's being paid in advance for work that he'll do in the future. If he just quits on his own without any good reason, he would have to give it back.
Why do you look at it from how much the apprentice is getting paid? Why do you look at it the amount of how much the owner would have to pay? Or let's see, if you have to hire somebody from that point, in other words, if you have to hire somebody for the next 6 months and has to pay $400 and whatever a week, and the apprentice got a job paying $380 a week, why?
Well, what the apprentice owes him is 6 months of his labor. What the Molei HaRoyim says is really his mechuyav, he should go back and work for 6 months. If he doesn't, you have to figure out what that's worth. A good way to start how to figure that out is see what the next person paid him. It doesn't have to be true. If the person overpays him or underpays him, then we'll reassess, but it's a very good indication of what the market value of his services are. So in that particular case, there's some factual questions. If the work that they did was worthless, because a new program would start from scratch, then they would have to return the amount of money they spent on that particular project. If it wasn't worthless, but it will be somewhat more expensive to continue because just bringing someone in at this point is more expensive, then in all likelihood, it would be the employer would be the one that would lose out since they were a pile. But hold on, let me just finish up a few more halachas now, then I'll take questions. Now there's one fascinating machloikis where a person hired a worker. Now the job was supposed to take a certain amount of time and it was going to cost $10,000 to complete the job. The worker did half the job, and at that point, the cost of labor dropped. So the worker quit, and now to finish the job, the employer's only going to have to spend another $2,000. How much does the payo get? So, the Sma Paskins, he gets $8,000. Now think about it for a minute. This payo is being paid by the hour. Every hour they work, they get a certain amount. Now that he quits, according to the SMA, he can now give his boss a bill for another $3,000. Because even though you only did half the work, since to complete the work will only cost another $2,000, he can send his work the day he quits, he gets a $3,000 check from his employer. The Shach is Matmiya. He says it doesn't make any sense. I'm paying you by the hour. You worked 10 hours, 100, you know, it's $50 an hour, so $500. What, the fact that you quit and now I'm going to be able to find someone for cheaper, what does that have to do with you? And the Shach says that halacha can't be true, and he argues. The Ksois is Miyashiv Isma, and he uses a very important Yisoid, which is going to come up again and again in Sfiras Payalim. If you buy a slave, you buy a slave, 6 years, $60,000. He works for 4 years, and at that point, there's a crash in the slave market. Slaves now only go for $5,000 a year. The slave had enough, he wants to go free. So he wants to return the money and go free. How much does he have to pay? So here the Gemara in Kedushin says that we always try to make it easy for an Eved to go free. And therefore, if he works for 4 years, he never gives, and it's for, and that means al pi cheshbon, he's still, there's 2 years, $20,000 left. He never pays more than $20,000. If the cost of labor went down, and now a slave is only worth $5,000 a year, he only has to give $5,000 times two. He gives $10,000 and he goes free. We always make it easy for a slave to go free. Zaktik tzais, every worker is similar to a slave. The reason why a worker can go free and can quit in middle is kiliben esor avada. And therefore, just like we try to make it easy for a slave to go free, and if his value drops, and he wants to redeem himself, he just pays the amount of time left remaining into slavery times the current value, a worker does the same thing. So when the worker is quitting halfway through the job, he's redeeming himself, buying out his responsibility to finish the job, and therefore we look into, take into account what it will cost the employee to finish. No. Two different halachas. This is all payos. Okay, let me just say, now this is all by a salaried worker. You get paid by the hour, you have the right to walk away, and it's yada al yoyna. A kablin, a contractor, where you pay him for the job, that halacha is going to be different. A kablin, according to most poskim, does not have the right just to quit whenever he wants. You hire someone to paint your house, until he finishes the painting, he has no right to walk away. The way most poskim explain it is, he's not an eved. Painters, subcontractors, we all know, they do what they want, when they want, halvai, you can get them to finish on time, they're not slaves to anybody, and therefore there's no kli b'nei Yisrael avodim, they agree to do a job, they're locked until the end. Because of that, if you hire someone to paint your house, and you make up $3,000 for the house, and he quits in middle, you have the right, it's going to cost you $2,000 to get someone else to do the job, you deduct that from his pay. And you only give him $1,000. He didn't have the right to quit. If he does quit, he gets penalized, and you can subtract whatever it will cost you to finish the job. Now, there are a couple of interesting cases. You hired a cobbler, you hired a painter to do your house. And you made up with him, you're going to pay him $3,000. really, the fair market value is $2,000. He overpaid. He doesn't have the job, and then he leaves. How much is it going to cost you to finish the house? $1,000, the half of what its fair market value is. How much do you pay? In such a case, where the Koblin breached his obligation, he left in middle, even though originally you agreed to pay him above market value, you're not responsible. Because the moment he breaches the contract and walks away, he's now you pay him just the as if there was no agreement. You pay him what its fair market value was. And therefore, if half the house for a typical painter would be $1,000, that's all he gets paid. And we ignore the fact that you're willing to, you were initially willing to overpay him. Now, the Pirush Mishnayos has, the Rambam, has the opposite case. You hired a Koblin to do a job that was worth $3,000. You convinced him to do it for $2,000. You're a tough negotiator. Halfway through the job, you fire him. Zok the Rambam, the worker can now give you a bill based on the fair market value. Because Eina Chanami, you were a tough negotiator and you knocked him down and he agreed to do the job for $2,000. But once you breach the contract in middle and you fire him, Pirush Mishnayos learns the whole deal's off. And once the deal is off, we want to figure out how much he's entitled to, we have to look at its fair market value, and he'll get the full $1,500 for half a job, even though he had initially agreed to do it for less. Now, as far as understanding why there's a difference between a poel and a koblin, between a contractor and a salaried worker, there are two basic approaches. One mahalach, which is really what I used until now, is that a salary, someone who's getting paid by the hour, he has to work specific hours, he is like an Eved. Because he's like an Eved, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim applies, and we have a special patur, he can quit whenever he wants. Part of this halacha is that not only can he quit when he wants, he doesn't suffer any penalty if he does. And that's why when a worker quits, he always has yada hal yoyina. Even if the price went up, there's no penalty. He gets paid for the work that he did, and shalom al yisrael. In contrast, a koblin is an independent contractor. An independent contractor, according to many places, is not an eved. If he's not an eved, he really has no right to quit. There's no kli bnei yisrael avodim. If he does quit, he gets hit with a penalty. And therefore, we can't physically force him to work, but we could make sure that he'll lose out. And therefore, if the employer has to spend more money out of pocket to find a replacement, the price changed, the worker is going to have to pay that difference, basically as a penalty. Aruch HaShulchan learns it a little bit differently. The Aruch HaShulchan learns, and this is also something which will come up again and again, Aruch HaShulchan learns really a poel and a koblin are in the same boat. Both of them have Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim. The reason why a koblin, we have to take into account what it'll cost to finish the job, he says, has nothing to do with a knas. It's simply because he agreed, your contract says, finishing the job will be $3,000. If that's the agreement, and he quits in middle, so he's responsible for any cost overrun. And if the next person wants $2,000 to finish half the job, you deduct it from the koblin, because his obligation is provide a finished job for this price. A poel who is not tied to the job, it's X amount of dollars per hour, so whenever he quits, whatever the amount per hour is supposed to be, that's what he gets. We don't have to look at the effect and the fact that at the end of the day he'll end up paying more, because that was never the hesken, that was never the agreement, and that's why he's treated differently. Now, just to end off, I want to just point out that this entire discussion, we have two major areas that we haven't addressed yet. The first is, we're assuming until now that the worker or the koblin woke up one day, he decided he had enough, they're quitting. What happens if there's an oinus? They're not just deciding to quit. Something happened and it's impossible to finish the job. Or the flip side, you offer someone a job, he's working for you, so you're not allowed to fire him. But what happens if the business goes bad? And now you don't have work for him to do. So those cases of oinus will have very different halachas, and that Amir Tzashem we'll get to next week. The other point that we have to address is where all these cases where a worker walked off the job or an employer decided to fire him, is also, he decided to fire him, The worker now does not have a job. The worker decides to quit. And the employer will find someone else to take his place. What happens by a davar aver? What happens if by quitting the job you're going to cause the boss a financial loss? The accountant quits, and if the tax returns are not filed by the end of the day, there's going to be a penalty. Those cases of Ovid are going to have very different halachos, and that in Mirtash Hashem also we'll get to either next week or the week after.
Why is the mitzvah of Kiliya, the mitzvah of Kiliya, why should it apply to the employer as well? There's an imbalance here.
Correct.
The employer should be able, based on Kiliya Yisrael, to say, I also know, I employed you, I shadded you, you know something, the Torah says, this is not a good thing.
So Yerushalmi brings down the Chodesh of Yochanan and Rav, and one of the Shitas says exactly what you're saying. That Kli B'nei Yisrael teaches us that you don't own a worker, and if you don't own a worker, the same way the worker has no obligations to you or minimal obligations to you, you also are free to fire the worker. And Yerushalmi has such a tzad. The Bavli seems to argue. And the Bavli argues in one of two ways. Either the pshat is that when you hire a worker, it's like an avdus. There's a kinyan, there's a shibud. Kli B'nei Yisrael gives him an escape. So as not to be a slave, we have to give him the ability to quit. That argument doesn't apply to the employer. Whether or not the employer has to pay him doesn't make him into an eved. So it only releases the minimum that we have to. We have to let the worker be able to quit so not to be an eved. Now that he could quit, there's no reason for the employer to be released of his obligation.
I mean, technically, even according to Bavli, the fact that the employer can also release him at any time takes away that avdushiva.
You can always be mafker or a slave. That's not relevant. The avdus is that I'm forced to work. That tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I can't decide to daven a little bit longer or have a seder after davening. I have to be at the office. If I can quit, I'm not like an eved. If the fact that you can fire me doesn't in any way mitigate the avdus. And that was one approach. The other approach was that it was nothing to do with an isser v'heter. It's a kal v'chomer. Just like we find by an eved, who is a slave, who you own. Still the halacha is he can be paid to himself. If he returns the money that you owe him, he can go free in spite of the kinyan. So kol shkein epayo, who there's less of an ownership, if he returns the money that you gave him, which doesn't exist because you didn't give it to him yet, that if he says, don't pay me in the future, he also goes free. But then that kal v'chomer is clearly limited to the payo side. Firing him, it wouldn't be relevant.
So that kal v'chomer also... doesn't it weaken the aspect when you're saying you want to be lenient for an eved, a real eved, to go free because he's really eved? Well, he's not a real eved, he's less than an eved. Therefore, those coolness that you would give to a real eved, you might not necessarily apply to this person because he's really not the etzem eved. He has a lawful of eved.
Very good. It's a worker, even in the most extreme, is not a real eved. And that's why, for example, even from less than 3 years is not a problem. To sell yourself as an eved for 1 year would be usur if you don't have a good excuse. So it's only, and even when you're selling yourself for more than 3 years, where there are more paskim to Mordechai that it's usur, the Shach quotes Be'er Sheva, and B'Shem Taisus, that argues. So there's a major machloikis, and this comes up again and again, to what extent or how similar is it to avdus or not. And there's a machloikis. Some paskim are more machmer, some paskim are more makel, and you know each case will have to deal with the different shitas. So that we mentioned last week, that the Sma and the Bach, the Ramo, all said that if the reason why you can back out is somehow there's the Kli B'nei Yisrael Avodim, we want you to have the freedom to be an Oyved Hashem, then according to some poskim, it only works when you're ready to retire and go back to Kollel. If you're just flip exchanging one Adoin for the next, and you're just switching from one job for better pay, according to some place, you didn't have the right to do it. Now this goes back to how you understand why you're allowed to quit. If really when you have a worker is locked in, you own him, there's a kinyan. But because the Torah is makbid kilibnei yisrael avodim, we want you to be free, so then it could be, it's only a heter. to the extent that you're ready to retire, to the extent you want to go back to Kailo. My she'enkein, if you learn it's a kavuchayim, that the nature of the kinyan, when you have a worker, you don't own a worker like you own a car, a cow, or a slave. It's a different type of shibud, and it's a shibud that he has the right to escape from. So then, we don't look at what you're going to do next. You have the right to back out. Now, I think what you mean is a svar that Knesset Yecheskel says, even if you're allowed to quit because of the Isser, so as not to be an Eved, the very fact that you can leave this person and go to the next person, that is what makes you not into an Eved. So you might be working, but working's never the problem. It's being locked into the job. And since you're not locked in because you have a better offer, you can just quit and move on to the next person, you won't be an Eved, and he says it would always be mutter to back out. Okay. Oh, good, but it's not a hekesh. The limud is there's an issur to sell yourself as an eved, and the way that we're understanding now, if the halacha would be that you're locked into your job, that would be avdus. So now we have a question. Is that a blanket release? I'm never locked in ever? Or does it just mean that if I want to give up my job and just be a free man, the Torah gave me an escape. And that's that machlokes. But that's an isser. Fine, but it's different. Eved's over an isser if he sells himself without, you know, assuming he doesn't have to. He has the money. He's over an isser. A worker isn't over an isser, and that's our shayla. So, to what extent does Kelivin Yisrael give a worker this right to back out? Now, the halacha, this is a machlokes. Many places can say that it's aser. It's you to quit a job just for a higher paying job. La halacha, you're not going to be able to force anyone to work because it is a machlokes, but this concept we discussed earlier in this year, that a worker has yodei al ha'yoyna, that he always has the upper hand and he'll get paid more, that will not apply if you're backing out for a better job. And it's very... That's a good... It might be a knas, it might be... That's a good shaila. But what most places can say is that even if you have the right to back out, it's not yodei al ha'yoyna. And therefore, in some cases, he'll end up losing a few dollars. He'll still probably be better off quitting, but he will not have yodei al ha'yoyna.
Because on that, the employer can take him.
Right. He is a mochzik, and because there are many, many shitas that say that...
According to the Sman, it says that if you quit before the end of the job, that you can bill him and
right.
Price for that. So it would come back really, I mean, according to them, practically speaking, any fellow really, he can quit right before the end of the job and end up getting a lot more money. I mean, it's a method in which he can bill.
No, he's not gonna end up gaining at the end, because what happened? The value drops. And therefore, to finish the job, you're only going to pay $2,000, right? This worker is going to be looking for a job now. How much is he going to get paid? $2,000. He'll end up with the same amount as if he stayed and completed the job. He's not going to end up richer.
No.
Because the value of his services dropped the same way. So he ends up with the same amount. But the difference is, normally you would say, you did half the job and you quit. It was a lucrative contract. It was silly to quit. But we're only going to pay you half. And now when you find another job, you get paid less. Now it'll come out. He'll end up with the same as if he would have completed the job. The employer will not lose, but it just means that the worker will not lose as much as he should have, you know, according to the Shach.
Well, this is he's planning
on
retiring anyway.
Then he'll benefit, just like a slave would. If a slave buys himself, if you sell yourself as a slave, there's an isser, but selling yourself as a slave is a pretty good gamble, because if the price goes up, stays the same, then you can redeem yourself at any time. If the price goes down, you'll be able to buy yourself back for cheaper. So you have a potential upside and there's no downside. If you want to sell yourself as a slave, it sounds like a fairly good financial debt. I mean, it is also, and there are other downsides, but dollars and cents, it's not a bad idea.
It wasn't a seasonal type of thing, you know, like first half of the year, hot.
Right, so that was the article.
Every year you go, he starts and then he puts it to the end, so he always, you know, he doesn't retire.
Arbitrage. So eventually, if enough people do it, then the prices will take a change because there'll be a glut every time, but okay. You're probably self-employed.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Most employees are very, very, very much understand why we're being compared to an Evan. Okay, right. No one's saying he has a din. He has he is. Even in Eved Ivri, if you run him over, you're going to have to, again, he's his own person. You're not, it's not an Eved Kanani. You don't own him like you own a cow. But the point is, Bnei Yisrael Avodim, that an Eved means he's not a free person. He's not a free person. He has to answer to someone. Someone else is telling him what to do and when to do it. Every employee will tell you he has sacrificed some of his freedom for his paycheck. What? But wait a second. Your client can tell you when to work. If you decide that you want to sleep all day and work all night, so again, when you have to go to court, you'll have a problem because the judges don't do that. But as long as you're able to get the work done, when you do it, doesn't make a difference to them. If you want to jet off to Eretz Yisrael and take along your iPad and work from there, they have no argument that what are you doing there? You have to be here. You're a free person. You set your schedule. You work as you please. If you are an employee and you have to be at the office at 9 o'clock, you have sacrificed some of your freedom. And there we have a discussion of Kli B'nei Yisrael Avodim.
It's not so simple. Choice. One, I talked to a friend of mine who was on vacation there in Israel, who had to come back because he had to be in court at the time.
Okay.